All right. Well, I appreciate everybody joining. Hopefully we'll get a couple of more people along the way. But I don't want to keep you guys too long, so we're going to go ahead and get started. We'll have our auditor coming in about 5 minutes to give like a preliminary audit review. So we can get moving so we don't have you here all night. So welcome everybody. It's good to see you. Good to see you all. Looks like we're getting this thing down. So I will pull up our agenda. Got all our documents already up and ready to go, so we should be able to move pretty good. So welcome everybody. I'm going to start the audio recording before I forget. Miss Wander yells at me. All right, cool. So we'll start with our minutes.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Right. So you got a motion. Hold on, I will at least open them up.
Emil Brown.
In case you didn't know if that was that was Emil Brown.
I thought it was Speed Racer. Y'all might be a little too young to remember that.
Go Speed Racer, go.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Hey, how's it going, Vince?
I'll put on mute if you guys are not done yet.
So. Yeah, nah, we're moving along now.
Do you want me to exit out and come back in, or
no, you're fine.
No, you're good, man.
Okay.
All right. So I do have the minutes up. We already have a motion to accept the minutes. If we can get a second. But if you want to take a minute, I have them on the screen here.
Well, that's the whole purpose of getting the minutes out before, so everybody looks at them.
That's true.
Okay. Trying to save time, that's all.
Hey, you're board members. You're already, I'm waiting for a second.
All right.
Second, Nicole Huffner.
All right, cool.
There you go.
All right, so the minutes have been motion and accepted it. Any corrections or questions? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Any oppositions? All right, the ayes have it. Pull back up. All right, so we'll go to public comment. Any parent comment? All right, teachers, any teachers present that would like to comment?
Hi, so we had our first week of virtual, this is Ms. Nguyen. I teach first grade. So we had our first week of virtual learning last week, and it went as smoothly as you could expect it. We gave all the kids in our class backpacks full of supplies. That was already extremely helpful. So I just wanted to say thank you for the backpacks and the supplies and, you know, everything moving forward that we need to get through virtual learning. We got it. Thank you to admin for helping us, you know, shuffle those out. And yeah, thank you.
Cool. Oh, thank you for sharing, Ms. Nguyen. All right. General public. Any comment from the general public present? All right. Let's move on to business. The head of school report.
All right, I'll be real quick because I know we want to get my man Vincent. Everybody received the school report, and again, we are going virtual at least until mid-October. End of the month, early next month, we'll reevaluate how Delaware is progressing, and more specifically on the community. It looks like if you go on to there's a website where you can check Delaware COVID numbers. the Delaware numbers are actually going up as a state.
Yeah.
And the rate of positive cases are going up as well, which needs to be below 5%. So I'm just hoping folks become more responsible, wear their masks, social distances, try to avoid large events if they can, because we really want to get back in school and get your kids back. But teachers put in a solid 2 weeks of a strong professional development that we talked about at the last meeting on technology, Schoology and Zoom and Clever, and Bookworms and Springboard. As Ms. Wynn mentioned, we did a backpack pickup for all students, and that was September 8th and September 9th. We had many teachers who had 22 out of 22, like every, I mean, I think Ms. Wynn, out of your four first grade classes, you may have had, what, maybe four, five, six parents total that didn't come?
I think we had a total of three.
Three?
Yeah.
Wow. Out of like 100 parents.
We had,
that is great.
Yeah, we had a bunch.
We had an amazing turn. I mean, we were estimating about 50 to 60% and that we would try to deliver and have another day of pickup. But the parents really came out. I mean, we out of 700 bags, we may have 8 or 10 that are still left the school. And most of those, we believe, are families that are relocated, you know, out of the area. So kudos to the teachers who really, they were on the phones calling every parent and saying, listen, please come in if you can. If you can't, let us know. We had teachers dropping off in the book bags. They were Edison book bags. We're going to make sure we get one for our board members too. Backpacks. They had the school supplies, all the curriculum materials. Those that needed a laptop, we bought a headphone set with a microphone for every kid in the school. So if you got three or four kids in the same room and you're listening to your brother's teacher, it's going to be very difficult in that environment. So everybody has a headset. It was just amazing. So I just want to thank the staff, thank the board for their support, thank my team who put in a lot of effort in organizing that. And it was a major, major success. Zoom has always presented problems even before schools became a part of the Zoom environment. But it's creating issues for schools. You have your Zoom bombers. You have Zoom collapsing. We have some parents and grandparents that are struggling with trying to navigate the Zoom.
Right.
But Jeff, our technology director, he's at school every day fielding calls. People bringing laptops, trying to help transition folks through, and teachers have been a big help with trying to help parents with that. We do have a Remind app that's going to allow us to communicate more effectively with parents. We have no-touch bottle fillers that have already been ordered for each floor, so there'll be no more removing all water fountains to decrease the chance of any kind of cross-contamination or infections with the virus, floor stands with cleansing wipes, hand sanitizer dispensers for all classrooms. Ms. Winder, you know, has ordered the halls and cafeterias will all have hand sanitizer and wipes in dispensers on location for people to clean. We're trying to encourage clean hands in the bathroom, clean hands when you're outside of the bathroom. The research is out there, mask, distancing, and cleanliness with hands go a long way in trying to prevent the spread. So Jess and his team clean and wax floors. I was there today. Floors look great. Gym is great. Parking lots finally got done. We got lines painted. Holes were filled with that. So things are looking good. And now we just got to do what we can to get the kids back in school.
What's the current student count, Principal Al?
Ms. Winder, Ms. Yates might have to help me with that. I would say probably around 710, roughly, Ms. Yates. What would your estimate be on that? Because we have folks that are coming and going, but I'm thinking we might be around 710 or maybe not.
that might be a...
good estimate. We're still got kindergartners enrolling. I think parents are really just with everything that is happening, they're really late. So we still have, you know, spots open in kindergarten that are getting filled every day. So yeah, maybe 700 is a good.
Yeah, 700 might be. Yeah, because if we probably still have room for about 30 or so kindergartners, 30, 40 maybe. So 710 might take it. Yeah, so maybe 700, better estimate. And then what I'll do is this week, we'll try to do a fine comb through parents who have the transfers and give you a, we'll email a more solid number to the board this week. But our estimate would be probably better around 700 or so,
yep,
give or take 10 kids.
And that's to be expected with all that's kind of going on, which is the primary reason that the account will take place on November 10th or whatever that November date is, as opposed to September 30th.
Right.
So we do have time there.
Right, because we do have some parents who are saying that they're not enrolling their kids until they know that the COVID situation is over.
Yeah, and I would imagine you would have that amongst a group of people.
And we have some who are saying that the school is giving them 5G and that's causing it. So that's an issue too.
Any other questions for Principal L? Principal L, I do just want to take a moment and say, I always read your report, you know, usually the day or the morning after you send it out. And I do appreciate the conciseness of it, where you just kind of give highlights of just a broad range of the things that are kind of going on. So I, for one, always appreciate it. So thank you.
Right. And then also, I appreciate you saying it, but I also want to follow up and just say that there have been board members who will email me if they have questions or need more detail, more informational follow-up. And I welcome that, because that gives us a chance to get, because every board member should be as informed as possible. So if any board member ever has a question or needs more information, even if it's something that we discuss at the board meeting, always feel free to reach out and we will get you. If we don't have the info, we will get the information to you, because as partners, you know, we're providing a valuable resource to our families. And on that, I also want to follow up and say that we also are providing with Red Clay food in our schoolyard, as we discussed the last meeting, Monday through Friday, 11 to 1, and on Tuesdays and Thursdays, also in the evenings from 4 to 6. And that's for our families or any family in the community who needs food, they can come out and get meals. So you can spread the word to anybody in your churches and any groups that you belong to. Let families know they can come to the schoolyard and get food.
Well, how's that going, Principal? The school and the food in the schoolyard.
It's it can be better. I just think Red Clay initially sent out communication that indicated that it wouldn't be every. In some locations, it's not every day, but it's every day at our school. So we're trying to get the word out to folks so they know that it is every day. So some days are good, some days are not. I was thinking with schools not being open, it'd be like a bread line.
Right.
Up to get their food, you know, free meals, and then you can pick up for one day for an entire week if you want. So and also you can bring your cousins if you want to.
Right.
So I just think we're gonna get better at getting the word out, and folks can come up and pick up food. But if there are some people that are showing up.
Okay, that's good. I mean, anytime something is new and it's a new concept, it's going to take some time.
And I'm sure there's some people that probably think it's a setup too.
You know, right.
Y'all trying to get me on that stimulus money that I got that I wasn't supposed to get. So I'm not coming in. Y'all trying to set me up like a Reese's cup, make me look like a butternut. But put the word out.
Good. I mean, you offering it, you know, you build it, they'll ultimately come. So.
You got it. That's the truth.
Any other questions for Principal L?
Motion to approve the school report, Nicole Huffner.
Ms. Huffner for the win.
Second, Richard Burris.
Thank you. Has been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any oppositions? All right. The ayes have it. School financials. Miss Wanda, did you want to have you want to do the financials first, or you want to have Vince go first?
Vince can go first.
Okay. All right. Vince, do you want me to? I know you sent me some stuff. Do you want me to pull up anything preliminary or anything like that? Vince, I think you're on mute.
Yeah, if you can share, that'd be great. I'm not good at that yet. I'm trying, but.
Nope, it's all good.
I will make references for those of you that have it in PDF format. It's the first right there. And I'll refer to the PDF page number. That way it makes it a lot easier. And I'll try to be brief if I can.
Okay. All right, take us away. And if you tell me if you want me to go anywhere specific, I'll definitely do that.
Yeah, the share screen doesn't show the PDF page number, but I would imagine yours does.
Yes, it does.
The upper, I think upper left.
Yep, so I have it. So what page should I be on?
Well, just a quick overview. Again, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Vincent Barbone. I'm the partner in charge of the audit, and we were hired to do the audit for the year ended June 30th, 2020, as it compares to 2019. I'm happy to report that we issued unmodified opinions, and that's on PDF pages 3 and 4. I know the opinion gets longer and longer because they're trying to make it more transparent, but the whole point of those two pages is that the opinions are unmodified. In layman's terms, it means clean opinions. And the reason why I use plural is there are multiple opinions because there are multiple levels to the financial statement. If you go to PDF page 6, this is your what we term as the government-wide. Is that page 6 or page?
So it's page 6 of my.
It should be. I'm sorry. Yeah. Page 5.
Page 5. All right.
I guess I miscounted. I guess. All right. Page 5 is your balance sheet. If you can get it to. Here we go. Can everybody see it? I can't, but.
Thank you.
Well, I'll just make a couple of notes. On the balance sheet, wait a minute. I think you have the wrong report. It's the foundation. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, you have the foundation.
I do. Okay, now I wonder why they're working that. So should I do this tax-adjusted trial balance?
No, it should be. You should have gotten another email.
Oh, okay.
That's why the PDF number was off. I was wondering. I thought maybe.
All right. I think this is it here.
So page 6.
All right. Okay. And this is what you expected before for page 6, right?
Yeah. That's why it looked kind of different. That's
okay.
I'll just do a quick overview on this without anybody worrying about what's current assets. Again, everything is rounded to the nearest 1,000 or 10,000 to make it a lot easier to present. And when I say that it increased, it's in comparison to 2019. So instead of me repeating the year, I just want everybody to know that. So basically. The current assets increased by 126,000 as it compared to 2019. And most of the increase is in cash. Cash went up 130. which means receivables went down by 4,000. So given the environment that we're in, that's good. Capital assets, which is the under non-current assets, if you look at the left column where the descriptions are, those are your capital assets that are owned by the school. They went up by a net amount of 5,000. There were additions of $76,000 minus depreciation of 71,000. And the additions, the investments, or should we say investment capital assets, were 60,000 for the surveillance system, 10,000 for the walk-in freezer, and 6,000 for the smart board. So, and that's what happened there. The deferred inflows and outflows, when you see those large numbers, they refer to the pension plan and post-retirement benefits such as health care that are through the Delaware system. Now you'll notice you see a lot of negative numbers, which means that the pension plan and the health benefits are unfunded, but that's kind of misleading because you have no control over those numbers. So basically the state dictates on how you fund the pension plan and the post-retirement benefits. So if the pension plan, and we can see back in the reports behind, further in the report, you'll notice the pension plan is about 87% funded. The reason why you see that large negative is for the health benefit is because the state of Delaware funds the plan on a pay-as-you-go. What that means is they assess you what it costs to pay the current expenses. They're not setting aside monies like the pension plan for future benefits. So that's what pay-as-you-go means. And that's why you see that large negative at the bottom of 18, if I can read it, 18,000. 18,646. It's not that you're bad stewards of the plan. It's the state that really manages it, and you've just funded in accordance with what the state tells you to do. So that, when you see those deferred inflows, deferred outflows, just we need to present it, but ignore them. It doesn't affect your current operating budget. Your liabilities went up $8,000. If you go down to your current liabilities, they went from 410, which is the third column from the left. The first column from the left to versus the third column from the left, which is 418 versus 410. And that's really not, it's pretty consistent, so it's not even worth mentioning it. But if you go all the way down to the bottom where it says net position liability, if you exclude the actuarial calculation for the pension and post-retirement commitments, your fund balance actually went up by, if I can read my notes, by $133,000. And how I get that number is you add the first three totals above the 18,000 compared to the first three totals above the 18,375. So, and that's a positive sign, again, given the COVID-19 scenario. So if it was going negative, I would say it was the impact from COVID-19. But even with COVID-19, you still managed to increase your net position, exclusive of your pension and post-retirement benefit. Does anybody have any question on that? I'm trying to make it as easy as possible without putting everybody to sleep. Does anybody have any questions? So basically what it says, now this particular statement here is what we would term government-wide. What that means is we include all assets and liabilities and the difference thereof. In other words, it's a balance sheet that you would report as if you were a private business. So basically it takes everything into consideration. And so given that, and excluding the pension and the post-retirement benefit, which you have really no control over, which the state dictates, and I know I need to reiterate that because a lot of people forget that. If you exclude those factors, you had a good year by $133,000. So the next pages, the next two pages, which would be pages 7 and 8, there's only two items I want to go over is for the year ended 2020, there was a small deficit of 138,000. or 139,000 versus the next page of a surplus last year of 250,000. So, and again, given the circumstances, it's not bad at all. So going to the next page, which is page 9, this is the same information that we just went over on page 6. The only item I want to point on this page is if you look at fund balance, it's the first number above total fund balance, which looking at 2.5 million versus 2.2. Basically what that means is that your unassigned, which is funds that are available to balance future budgets, actually went up by $350,000. And that is, given this the scenario that we're dealing with, that is a good sign. And basically, these are the statements that you use to budget, to plan, and everything else. The statements that we just went over prior to this are just to show the public, if you were a private business, how would your statements look like? But what you're really dealing with most of the time is page 9 and page 11. So does anybody have any questions on the balance sheet? If not, can we go to page 11? Page 11, this is basically your operating statements. If you look at total revenues, they went up slightly from 9.4 million to 9.7. If you look at your expenses, they went from 8.9 to 9 million to 9.7. But if you take into consideration, and we'll see the budget to actual report, is the reason for your expenses going up more than your revenues is because you had to purchase a lot of technology so that the children could be taught remotely that you would not have done had you had operations going as routinely as they do from year to year. So that's the main reason why the expenses went up. But at the same time, as if you notice, you still managed to have excess funds for the year of 35,602 before the Christina School District settlement, which actually increased your fund, your bottom line by 118,000 versus the prior year of 569. So given, again, I know I repeat it over and over again, given the scenario that we're dealing with, it's actually a very good year because I've seen others going on the negative as opposed to the positive. So the next page is, does anybody have any questions on that page? Well, one other thing I want to cover on that page. If you go back up to expenditures, notice the shift in your expenses. In your instructional services, they went up from 7 million to almost 7.8 million. And that's what I was referring to. Respectively, your maintenance costs actually went down from 1.2 million to 750,000. And your transportation costs also went down because you renegotiated contracts. So basically your supporting services, the costs went down, but they were shifted above the line to instructional services. So basically they kind of equal out in the sense that you had to buy more computer equipment. So, but anyway, does anybody have any questions? If not, can we go on to PDF page 13? These are your fiduciary funds, the student activity funds. There wasn't that much activity in those funds for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2020, but these are the funds that you hold for the benefit of the student activity. So that's all I have to say there. And then pages 14 to 28, they're basically the disclosures that make the statements more meaningful. They have not changed the verbiage has not changed. However, the financial data has changed to allow or to report on fiscal year 2020. So I don't know if you want me to go in great detail on any of the pages, or we can, if not, we can skip the pages, PDF page 29.
Yeah, I think we're good to do that.
A lot of it is actuarial calculations because of the pension and the other post-retirement benefits. So the reason why I want to mention page 26 is you'll notice there's a typo error somehow when we have to figure out what's wrong with the footer. There's two pages 26, but it should be page 27. I am aware of that, but I wanted to get the statements to the board so that way we can get it approved. And we can fix that prior to final issuance. Note 13, basically what that is these are all new pronouncements that were issued by the Governmental Accounting Standards Board, but they also, because of COVID-19, they also extended the deadline another year. So, but this is what's coming down the road that needs to be implemented. Most of them will not affect on the citizen. There are a few that may, but will not have any material consequences. If you go to page 27, which is actually, I'm sorry, the next page, we'll see at the bottom, it also says page 26, and I apologize. Mm-hmm.
It's all right.
And then note 13 continues on that page, and then we also disclose note 14, which is COVID-19 impact. We disclose that there's a worldwide pandemic, and we have no idea what the future consequences will be financially, and we're disclosing this on all entities, whether for-profit, nonprofit, governmental. So the way the reader is aware that there may be potential impacts that we have no idea what they are at this point. Note 15 is a standard note. And basically what it says is there is no activities other than what we've already disclosed that will impact the financial statements. So the next item is pages 32. PDF, these are what we call required supplementary information. Basically, this is your budget to actual comparison. I don't want to get into great detail. You'll notice there's numbers on the right-hand side that tries to explain why the variances occurred. And most of them are COVID-19 related because of the additional expenses that you had to make to make the remote learning possible. And if you go drill down, you'll notice the second column from the left, the third number from the bottom, you have projected a surplus of 158 or 159,000. And what you ended up the year was with 118,000. So the net change was an unfavorable variance of 41,000, which is really not that bad, given the circumstances. And that's all I have to say on that page. If you go to the next page, which is page 20, PDF page 33, this is how we explain. Again, you can tweak that, but that's our understanding of what happened to those line items. But you can tweak that if you wish prior to final issuance. And basically that explains to the reader why there were large shifts from what was budgeted to the actual expenditure. And this is all required disclosure for government oversight and so forth. Does anybody have any questions? I know this stuff is dry, especially at night. Just think I have to deal with this every day. but anyway, but I actually like this stuff, so it doesn't bore me as much as others, I guess. If you go to the next page, I'm trying to go as fast as possible.
You're good.
The next page is PDF 34 to 37. Now, just real quick, eventually this page will show 10 years. The only thing I want to show on this is basically for the teachers and also for the public, is that, I don't know if, look at the last number under 2020, which says 85.41%. What that says is, what that number is, and then if you follow it across and down to the next row, what that means is that the pension, the state funded, or the state pension plan, which the school is part of, is 85.41% funded. And then you can see the history of the funding. And so actually, the state of Delaware is one of the better funded pension plans. So I don't know if that gives the teachers any comfort, but.
So. Well, why is it going down from 2015? It was 95 and now it's 85%.
Now, keep in mind, June 30th, the stock market took a hit, but then it recovered again in July. So a lot of it is a fluctuation of what the market does. And the other thing is, too, is that that's the main reason. And the second reason is the state tells you how much you need to fund or how much their match is based on an actuarial study that the actuaries calculate on an annual basis. That's the only answer I can give you. I have no control over these numbers.
And Ben, wouldn't this be for the funding? Wouldn't this be if everyone retired tomorrow, this is the amount funded, right? Mm-hmm. So we said, all right, we're done. The whole state's retiring at the same time. That's how much is funded. That's another way of saying that, right?
And that's never going to happen. So.
Yeah. I just wanted to, for everyone there, I just kind of wanted to clarify.
So, but it's actually one of the better funded state plans in the country. Now, there's a few that are 100%, but not many. Some of them, like Hawaii, Illinois, they're around 40%. I don't know about California. I didn't read the stats on that. And some of them, New Jersey is bad too, so I don't know. And some of the other states are pretty well funded, but Delaware is up there with the rest of them. So it's a pretty well funded plan. So the next, if you go to the next page, you drill down, this here tells, these are the pension contributions. Now you'll notice the first line at the top of the page where it says 484,118, those numbers are dictated to the school by the state. And you'll notice the pattern of funding has been going up, just to keep up with inflation and so forth. And that's all I have to say about that. And then if you go to the next page, this is the bottom, the next page is page 36, PDF. Now this is, this is the OPEB, is what we call other post employee benefits. And basically these are the medical benefits that are provided by the state pension plan. But as I said before, you'll notice the net position of the plan is 0.5%. Or actually, I'm sorry, 5%. Now the reason why that is because unlike the pension plan, the state tries to fund it fully. And again, the disparity between 100% and whatever the percentage is dependent on how the market does and what the actuarial assumptions are and so forth. So that's beyond me because I'm not an actuary, but that's basically what causes it. The health benefit plan, the state of Delaware has taken a position that is pay as you go. So basically they assess you whatever they believe they need to fund the current, the year that's coming up. So that's basically it. So they don't assess all the participating members of this plan to fund it for future benefits because, and keep in mind, a lot of these benefits are provided from at the point of retirement up until the point you qualify for Medicare. So at that point, the liability drops. So, I mean, that's as far as I understand it. So anyway, so the next PDF page, which would be page 37. Again, it's the same thing. If you look at the first line, this is the amount of employee benefit payments that the school made to fund the plan. And again, the school has no control over how much they need to pay in. It's dictated by the state actuarial calculation. So that's, and you'll notice it's been going up from, and the reason why it has less years than the pension is because this standard was adopted 2 years after the pension standard. So does anybody have any questions? I'm sorry if I'm boring everybody, but I'm almost there. page 39 and 40. And I'm not going to get into great detail. These pages here, basically, it's the same information that we discussed. The only difference is we provide the information based on the source of funding, the state, the local, what's funded by the state, what's funded by the federal, and what's funded locally, which means through assessments to school districts and other local funds. That is property taxes and so forth. So if you go to the next page, it breaks down the revenue source and how and where the and the expenses by natural category, meaning salaries, employment costs, as it compares to 2019. Now, the reason why we include this information, it's not required. That's why it's not RSI, as we call it, required supplementary information. But supplementary information, should the Thomas Edison go out for a bond or obtain a loan from a bank if the need arises, because charter schools are not provided with capital funds from the state coffers like the school districts are. So there may be a time where you need to go out and borrow money, and the banks or the financial institutions or the bond issuing brokerage houses are going to look for this kind of information. So you have this readily available to compile a five-year comparison for them. That's the reason why it's in the report. So that way you don't have to pay a consultant or us again to try to reconstruct this when you already have it available to provide to, if ever the need arises, to borrow money to fund a capital project. The next items is the single audit, and that starts on page 42. The reason why you're required, this additional information is required, is because you receive federal funding in excess of $750,000. And so when that happens, that triggers what we call a uniform guidance or single audit or OMBA 133 audit. Take your pick. It's gone through an evolution in the terminology, but it's the same thing. So PDF page 42 and 43, this is a report required by government auditing standards. And I'm happy to say that there are no findings. It's pretty much a clean report, but we do not issue an opinion on the government auditing standards report. So if you go to page 44, this is the report required by uniform guidance or single audit or. And basically, we have to issue an opinion on your federal compliance, and we issue what's called an unmodified opinion. Again, it's a clean opinion, and that's reflected at the bottom of page 44. See that little, at the bottom right there, opinion on each major federal program, and we did issue a clean opinion. So that's, and the program that was selected for auditing, we have to go through a gyration on how we select a program, was Title I, which I will show you. And then the next page, 45, is a continuation of that report. And then if you go to page 46, this is your schedule of federal funding. And basically last year you received $1,063,904. And you'll notice the largest of all the grant funding is Title I, which is CFDA number 84.010. Now, sometimes because I don't want to get into a lot of technical stuff, but basically these are all considered non-major programs. A major program is determined to be anything $750,000 and above. But what happens is when you don't have a major program, then we have to go through a gyration or a calculation to determine which one we're going to test. And it just so happens, based on the requirements of the standard, that's we picked Title I this year. Last year, we audited 21st Century. And if you go to the next page, which is page 47, this basically summarizes the results of the audit for federal compliance. Eventually, once this is approved, then what we have to do is submit it to the federal single audit clearinghouse, or the data collection, which is the data collection form. This report, once approved by the board, gets attached to it and it becomes a public document. I'm happy to say the important thing is at the top, all where it says the no answer is checked, that's good. Where the yes answer is good is at the bottom, right after the CFDA number 8401. You'll notice RT qualifying as a low risk, and that's yes, and that's good. So that means you're considered a low risk because you don't have any significant or material findings for the last 2-3 years, I think, for the last 2 years plus the current year. So if you go to the last page, you'll notice that there were no outstanding findings. So the only thing I can say, it is a good report, and I want to congratulate management, the board, for doing a hell of a job. So, and I apologize for boring you this evening on all this stuff, but the unfortunate thing is we have to go through it so that you understand what's involved in the document, even though a lot of times it's kind of dry. But.
No, it's all good. We appreciate it, Vince. Thanks for going through that.
Now,
that's the last page.
Yeah, the last page. The reason why I did, we also have the foundation, but the foundation is rolled up into this report. So in essence, when we went through this, we already actually covered it. The foundation also had a clean report, an unmodified opinion. And the reason why it's included as part of the school's reporting is because the foundation has the same board members. So basically, they have the same governance that controls both entities. And that's the reason why it's included as part of this audit. But there are also separate financial statements that are issued. And the foundation is in good financial standing. And if you, again, I don't know, if you look through the report, you'll see the information presented. It's the foundation, as of the close of the year, had approximately over $800,000 in cash position. So that's basically what you need to know, and you got a clean opinion.
Good. We'll take it.
Does anyone have any questions?
So no, this one,
it's, here, so, right? It's only once a year, Ben, so we can deal with it.
Yeah.
Now, if you try to come, now if you try to come back in the spring, we're gonna have a problem.
Well, that's what. Well, in the spring would have to be for next year.
No, we appreciate you rolling up the foundation into that, because
always good to see you, and always good to get good news.
Yeah, yep. Well, I just reported. You have to thank your staff for doing such a good job.
Good,
yes,
good,
sir.
Good.
And you're the leader, so you have to thank.
Yeah. Also. Yeah. Exactly.
Listen, I just follow the orders that I take from these folks. And so
nah.
I follow well.
They've come a long way, and we've seen marked improvement. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I mean, the results speak for themselves. And Pat, you and Pat have done a great job again, and the board also, because without the board's support, you couldn't achieve those goals. So
right. We got a good team, and yeah. I'm happy to be here.
And now, the only thing we need from the board is that if you're okay with it, you have any exceptions, we need to get it approved so we can get it to the Department of Education, and I'll leave you guys to do your.
All right, Ms. Huffner, let's go.
Do I need to stay, or do you want me to?
No, we'll motion it, but end of the day, clean opinion. And no outstanding findings. Those are kind of the big things.
And that's
so I think we're, yeah, so, you know, two thumbs up. So anyone that would like to we can move on along. Anyone that would motion for us to accept this, I'll be most grateful.
So moved, Emil Brown.
Second, Nicole Huffner.
Thank you. It's been moved and accepted. Second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
If I could take a moment, I want to thank the board and management for all the help you give us during the audit process. And I want to thank you for giving us the privilege to perform the audit. I know it's been a little difficult with the COVID-19. Hopefully by next year, fingers crossed, everything will go back to normal. But only time and God knows, I guess.
So. Yeah, we'll see.
Again, thank you very much.
I'm hopeful.
And have a good evening.
All right, thanks, Vince. You're welcome hang out or move on. All right, thanks.
I have a lot of Section 8 housing deadlines at the end of the month, so if you don't mind.
No, I don't blame you. All right, thanks for your help, Vince.
Thank you again. Have a good evening.
All right, thank you.
Take care, Vince.
Kudos to you all. I did not see eyes closed even, I appreciate it. And I'm the one that has to do the, go to this page and that page. Like, man, I am struggling.
I was waiting for you to do the benediction after
that. Oh, my God. All right, Miss Wanda.
Okay. All right. You're pulling them up. Okay. For the financials, ended August 31st with $3.9 million in revenues, and this was a positive variance primarily due to the increase in funds that we received on the unit count that will be trued up in December. The expenses were $1.4 million, approximately. And that was also a positive variance of $307,000 primarily due to the savings in the debt service funds. We haven't started paying advance because we typically pay them and start paying them in September for 10 months, but it's usually about $58,000, something like that. But as you can see, the debt service is a lot lower because we haven't started paying those 10-month expenses yet. What else? Also, we have savings and salaries and other expenses. That's because the brand new employees, they really don't start getting paid in cash basis until September. So that'll start being more also in the future. Okay. I just wanted to point out one thing. On the last page, this is the money that we have. Some we actually have in the form of cash. Others, the grants, we have the access to it. Let's see. I wanted to report the MCI operation funds. These are the funds that are given to us from the state. We could use it for capital improvements. We use a lot of it for the end of the year projects, things like that. But it seems as though it's getting to be a lot of accumulation because we haven't been doing as many things as usual in prior year. And we get to keep the money for 2 to 3 years. So I don't know if we would want to think about, because it's about $330,000, something like that. If we want to think about using that money for something like partial roof, the gym floor, because we have it. Or do you, we could hold on to it, but I was just thinking that since we have it now, that maybe we should do something, you know, with it.
Yeah. And it can be used for any sort of capital expense. Is that what you're saying, Ms. Wanda?
Yes.
Okay. I would agree with that.
Yeah, I'm sure Mr. Shaw might mind the new gym floor or something along those lines.
Now, I know that we were looking to use grant funds from the grant people who are looking for things for us to use funds for. However, that's a really slow process, it seems like. And it's a lot for us to do in order for them to do their work to get us the funds. So that's kind of like a slow process. I don't know if you still want to have them come up with a grant to do that, or if you guys want to do it, or even something else.
I mean, we can continue to work towards grants, but if we have funds that will expire at a certain point in time that can be used for capital expenses, I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer to use it when possible.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When would it begin to run out? So you said you have about.
Well, we have for the end of the year this year, it's $109,000. But we do use the funds. It's just that we have a lot of the funds. So since we have so much that we can do something, you know, that
will
make an impact, then why not? And then the $117,000, that doesn't expire until June of 2022. And then the last portion doesn't expire to 2023. And every year we get $100,000.
Okay, so it sounds like it expires like a third or so each calendar year. Yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense for us to maybe we can kind of come up with a list of things. It may cover all or it may cover some, but we can start putting that to use. I mean, we can use it now. No need to sit on it.
Because we usually use the funds for things that Jesse's doing, like some of the projects that he does, especially in the summer and things like that. But it's just accumulating more than usual.
I think with all the injuries that we have in the gym, we if the funds are there, we might want to make, I mean, the injuries, not only the students, but the staff as well. I think we might, right, Ms. Hoffner?
Yeah,
that's correct.
Yeah. I remember that buzzer beater 3-point shot. She hit Ms. Winder, fouled her, and won. Hit the floor.
I was about to say that, Ms. Hoffner, now that she, you know, gave birth, she should be ready to come back with a vengeance.
It was bad. It was pretty bad.
Sorry.
No, like Cheryl Swoops.
Yeah, she'll be back with a vengeance. Seems like she could play some defense too. So.
Oh yeah. So we and I think we got an estimate. We got a couple estimates and everything on that project. So that might be something, and it'd be a good time to do it because
Jim's
not being used.
Right.
Yeah. So we could talk about what's there. I don't want to use all the money up, but I think that gym project ended up being less than we thought it was going to be anyway.
Yeah, we will still definitely have funds left over. I think it's like, what was it, about 60,000, something like that?
Yeah.
Oh, it's under 100.
Not a lot of construction, because it's an overlay over the floor, so it's like a soft surface with some cushion underneath it.
But yeah, it wasn't wood.
Yeah, but it's one they said a lot of colleges are using now.
Well, if we have 300-some thousand and the gym is under 100,000, let's start looking into that now. I think that makes complete sense. And we use it all the time.
Right.
All right. Now, thanks for bringing that up, Ms. Winder. No, that's good. Sorry, Emil?
It's always a safety issue as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Use injuries.
Right. I mean, I'm talking, I mean, being serious, I mean, broken bones and concussions right. in them. Because that tile is over cement.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We're good. Because we're going to get a board versus staff. You know, we got to have some safe gym floors. You know, Mr. Brown and already.
Y'all must going to let Shelton, the board member, real quick then.
So.
I officiate.
All right. So, any questions for Ms. Wander? So, Ms. Wander, our next board meeting, we can tee that up. So, if you get like the information kind of leading up to there.
Okay.
All right. Can I get a motion to receive the finance report? To approve the finance report at this time.
To approve Nicole Huffner.
I second Ollie Johnson.
Ollie with the volume.
All right.
Woohoo! All right.
Shadows.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. I have it. Pull up my thing. All right. I'm going to be real quick for Mr. Cooper. I just have, you know, we haven't been doing much. It's not like it's been a charter conference or anything like that. So no expenditures have been coming out of the board financials. Here's a look at kind of the checking account. The things I'll point out is this 24-410-18 is what we pay to we're a community investment corporation for our mortgage that'll run its course over the next 4 or 5 months.
Right, January,
right?
Yeah, January. So, we make the last payment.
So that'll be money we'll be able to reinvest elsewhere as well. Mr. Cooper's not here, so I'm not going to worry about presenting the floor report. I just wanted to give you that. Don't have anything for Achievement Committee. I still need to get with Rupa, and we can talk about personnel, what we want to accomplish there. That's on me to set up, so we won't do that. We'll skip down to the Operations Committee. So one of the things that I'll just start off with this. Ms. Winder, you sent over the advance kind of contract, which I have up here and I can share with, send to folks. But it boiled down to, it seemed to me, to refer to this Schedule A, which just kind of broke down how they would charge us. Ms. Winder, Mr. Brown, Rupa, anybody got anything that you want to share or on
the contract? I have something.
Go ahead.
Mr. Brown, you know, made a lot of good points. He looked into the contract. He said that we needed some additional provisions for COVID. That's true. There are some things in the contract that I feel that we need to change. I don't know if we need to meet off Zoom and then get back together. At the end of the day, the contract, for the most part, is good, but they want 7 years.
Yeah.
A 7-year contract. Who does that? We can't do that.
Right.
2 years with 2 additional 1-year terms is what we usually, the state won't let us do a 7-year contract.
Yeah, I don't even think the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback got a
7-year contract. That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And his is like $400 million.
That's a big contract. And another thing is that they want each and every year a 2.5%. So you usually when we have the contract and it's for 2 years, the cost is studied for both years. For the options to renew, that might go up, but I think that's a lot, considering that we're paying them for doing not a lot of work.
Yeah, and then they're trying to backfill the end of the contract to make up for it, right, over a period of time. Yeah, nah.
And also, Iman was saying that they need to put in there something that actually states when drivers are not providing normal student transportation services, they must be performing other work. I think that needs to go in there. Now, they did have they gave us something, something that just stated what their plans are for COVID, what processes they put in place. I don't know if we would want to make that a part of the contract. And it's just some things, some not major, but some things that need to be, I think, changed. And we probably will have to, talk to them, have a meeting with them to discuss it.
Right. So Ms. Winder, if you want, with a smaller group, so we don't keep everyone here, if you want to work with me or Emil to set up some time and we can talk through the things we will want changed, amend it, and then we can work to just meet with advance.
Okay.
If that works.
Yeah. If people just, you could just email me what's a good time, what your schedule is for this week or next week if you have an hour or so.
Okay.
And Rupa, it's one thing in there that I had some questions about, and I emailed her earlier, emailing her. It was a statement that they had in there that we're going to hold them harmless about cameras and things like that. That never was in there before. Usually it's something in there that they hold us harmless, and that was not in there. So I just want to know what the legal ramifications of that is. Because I don't know.
Yeah.
This is Rupa. I actually had a chance to look at the contract, and I don't think I got your email about the indemnification provisions. But I sent an earlier email on this today with some of my thoughts, and I did find it, one, unusual that this is a 7-year term contract. I think that that's ridiculously long. Maybe 2 years is a good start with options to renew it if they're good at, carrying out their services. The other thing is with the indemnification provision, I agree. If they want to have an indemnification provision as to us, we certainly should have a reciprocal one as to them. So it's kind of a wash legally and doesn't really impact one or the other, party to the contract. I'm not really that concerned about the camera indemnification provision, but I do think we need to have our own indemnification provision in there as well. And I think you brought up this point earlier, is this whole, obviously with remote learning and things around COVID, is what is our need for this right now? Because we enter into a contract, it seems that we're obliged to pay them a certain amount. And what if there's just no need for it? Is it necessary to have, a contract per school year? Can you kind of pay as you go? I just don't know what the options are. What are the other school districts doing? And do they have language?
Well, it's pretty much the same. Because if we don't pay them, they will lose their drivers, they'll go out of business, and it's kind of just to ensure that we have transportation for our students, because I don't know what we would really do if we didn't have any transportation. It would be horrible.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. So I guess we already have it in the budget to cover transportation expenses regardless of the need for it right now.
Right. The state gives us funds for transportation.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. But we definitely need to put in some stuff in here about COVID and, you know, put some onus on them to make sure that to the extent, you know, they're actually providing these services in the next 3 to 4 months, that they do so in compliance with, you know, the CDC and other safety measures in place so that, you know, there isn't a further spread of the virus. And that's something that if we don't have in our contract, we could be on the hook for not ensuring that they, you know, abide by certain safety protocol.
What do you think about the that page that I had attached that they gave us that said that what they were required to do with COVID-19? Can we just make that a part of the contract, or you think it should be definitely spelled out in the contract?
I don't think I saw that page. Did you attach it with your original email?
Yeah, I'll send it again to you.
Okay. Yeah, I'm having some technical issues with my work computer. So I'm not receiving a lot of emails for whatever reason. But I think it needs to be specifically put or referenced in the contract. At the very least, to comply with state or federal protocol on this stuff.
Yeah, CDC guidelines for bus companies and bus drivers. I think we should just take it right from the CDC.
Right.
Right from the federal guidelines and have them follow that.
But COVID's going to disappear. It's just going to go magic.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I just read somewhere where a 28-year-old doctor or something just died from COVID.
I know, that's so sad.
Yeah, this thing is aggressive. And you know they wear all kind of PPE.
Yeah.
And our teachers don't even have access. You know, people saying, well, nurses and doctors have to do it. We don't have access to that kind of PPE. You know, so it's a whole different ball. And they don't see 24 patients at one time.
Right.
We right. see all 24 at one time in one room. They go from room to room to room to room. Yeah, it's a big difference. So I think the bus company, and I think in several conversations with them, I don't know if you remember me asking them, were they putting plexiglass on the bus? I don't know if you remember me asking if they were putting plexiglass on the bus where the driver is to protect the children from the driving, and they told me they were not. And I just think that can be a potential, that could be a potential issue. So we may, but I don't think that the federal government is requiring that, but I'm sure there's some school districts that are requiring that though. So we may need to look at that.
I actually spoke with Ebony today, and she was saying that they're not putting any plexiglass. She gave some details about, you know, how they'll be wearing masks and gloves and cleaning in between.
Right.
Wearing a whole lot of, you know, different safety measures that they were, you know, saying that they were going to do. So.
Right. And I'm not pushing it now because the kids are not on the bus. But I just think once you start getting 30, 40 kids mm-hmm. on that bus that, you know, you go in the supermarket, you go in any store, you go in Walgreens, anywhere. Yeah. There's some glass between you and the person across from you.
Yeah, and most places have to do it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I can't see how that, and I don't see how that could be that an expensive of an additional alteration to you know, to the bus. But I don't want to take the meeting up with that. That's something we can talk about maybe in a separate operations. But yeah. I do. That's a great point from me that. I think we need to set the tone for the guidelines for the buses. I don't think having them set the guidelines is like having the fox guard the hen house.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
It's like you make, you know, we'll suggest the rules that we'll follow, sort of thing.
Right.
All right. And Ms. Mina, we should include Rupa on that as well.
Rupa, did you get my email?
Sorry?
Did you get my Principal Ellen and Rupa, did you get my email that I had sent regarding?
Yeah, and I'm sorry I didn't get back to you on that, but
I don't think I got it.
Okay.
Yeah, I got it, and I didn't realize that it was something I needed to go through that, and I should have. So I'm going to do that, and I'm going to get back to you, Mill.
No problem. Pat mentioned it earlier, but I think I didn't include you when I first sent it out, and I had to go back and send you a direct one. That's all.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I'll send out it to everybody again. Because I think, Rupa, for you have two emails. I usually send it to both emails. I only send it to one because I just responded.
Right. I have over, 10,000 emails on my channel. So I will likely not see it if it goes to my personal email. So you can just send it. If you send it to my work email, I should, I respond to everything. I tend to.
Okay.
Got it. That's one of the reasons I started sending from my work email as well. All right, so we'll follow up on that. Anything else from the operations committee?
No, I'll meet with Jesse and see if I can get a hit list for that excess capital budget.
Cool. Perfect.
Trying to get it off.
Perfect. Perfect. All right, executive committee, just for the next 45 minutes, I just wanted to talk about, no, I'm joking, to see if you're paying attention. I don't have anything. So actually, I'll share next month, but my fraternity, Phi Beta Sigma, which I've reactivated they adopt a school each year. They already did kind of a book bag exchange, but they're going to actually make Thomas Edison one of their two adopted schools, which, is everything from supplying supplies and kind of teaching kids about stock markets and investing and different things like that. I hope to have something to present to you next month, but we've been here long enough today, so I'm going to hold off on that. Any board member comments? Right, any new business?
Please mark me present. I came in late on the meeting. This is Alan.
I saw you when you popped in. I was happily welcoming you silently. Thanks for joining us. I just want to thank everybody for their patience. It was, I'll be honest, it was a bit long to go through that. it was long. Miss Huffner, if your daughter's not asleep, you should have put that on audio. That would have definitely helped if she's still over there by you. But thank you everyone for joining. Anything from anyone?
I'm good.
Good job with the money, guys. Good job with the money.
I will just say Mr. Blossom will email me from time to time, and he did ask, if he, could just pop on and just listen, which is super positive. So he may pop on and just kind of listen out.
That's great.
I told him he was more than welcome for that. So I'm hopeful of that. But if there's nothing else, thank you everyone, and enjoy the rest of your night.
Real quick.
Okay, got it.
How are we looking for the bulletproof glass in the school? Because we just had another shooting maybe a half hour or so in this neighborhood.
Where was it?
Over by Pine Street. See, I live right up the street from the school, so I catch all that. So,
right.
Well, maybe that's something we look at with that.
Yeah.
That extra money that we have.
Yeah.
I think that is extremely, extremely expensive. We found out. And It's,
but it's expensive to do the whole school, but maybe we start in sections, you know what I mean?
Okay.
The front side, Locust Street side.
Right. Because that Locust Street, well, and especially that Locust Street side is like kindergarten on that one end, one wing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And they already took a bullet through that wing.
Okay. Yeah, I think they said that to do like 1/4 of the Locust Street side is almost $300,000. It's very expensive. And they're saying that it's really no such thing as really bulletproof glass. It's a special word for it. Jesse is familiar with it. But it has been extremely, extremely difficult and to get quotes for that. Because, I don't know, Ms. Yates.
Well, let's just, when we put our list together, let's just put what it is in terms of what it is per thing. And like, you know, we can talk about it.
Right, and we could talk about that in operations. That definitely should be a priority.
Yeah, I was going to say there's different levels. There's like that coating they can put on, and then there are different kind of options that we might be able to look into.
But it's no such thing as
completely bolt, yeah.
Glass.
Right, because the glass we have, actually, to be quite honest with you, the glass we have has actually prevented the full puncture, right? It's still breaks the glass. So I think that if you get the right double pane glass, maybe with the separated by wire, just reinforced glass, I think that helps. But I think we owe it to the kids and the families and the community and the staff to try to investigate. I'm doing as much as we can to try to get that at some level. Like, again, like I said, if we start in sections. So I think it should be on the operations agenda.
And Ms. Wanda, that could be one of those things where we make it a priority and the money wouldn't come entirely out of our surplus. The board can pay from the foundation, right? So if it's, you know, $600,000 or so, and we agree that we're going to make this a priority and it's worth knocking out, you know, some of a rainy day fund, maybe we do that. So yeah, so let's get it on paper and then we'll just talk through it.
All right. And then I want to just in closing, I just want to thank, this first week has been tough. The spring was tough. Moving forward is going to be tough. But our kids, our teachers, and our parents had two options, right? They could have just said, look, pack it in. I got a light in my hand. I could use it as a burden or I could use it to offer some hope to these kids, and they really have pushed through. It's been tough, but I've had teachers that have just tried to focus on being positive. Parents are tough because they know that's what the kids need. So my heroes today are these teachers and parents who are working and working with the children at home, but these teachers who are, you know, just doing amazing things and trying to create an engaging, fun environment for children who are struggling, you know, in this online learning. So my closing comment is just, you know, thank you to you folks that are out there doing the best you can.
Amen.
Yep, I second that. Definitely second that. And maintaining a positive outlook by doing it.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yep.
It's unreal. So thank you.
Anything else from anyone? All right, folks. Get yourself some dinner. Thanks. Thank you so much, everybody. I appreciate it.
Hey, great to see my man, Ollie.
Yep, yeah, absolutely.
I'm working on this camera, man. I'm working on it.
All right. The White Shadow
was my favorite show back in the day.
I thought you said Speed Racer was.